Welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Monday, March 16th, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker, at NashWalker9 and at Locked On Twins on Twitter. First one's my personal, second one is for the show. Thanks for listening today. We're going to update the coronavirus from a baseball view on a regular basis, including today. Over the weekend, MLB advised all spring training camps to close after earlier giving teams an option to go home as they please. Mostly all of our Twins have left Fort Myers for home or Minneapolis. Some have homes down there. Byron Buxton, I think there's 20 or 25 players still down there. Bob Nightingale of USA Today reported yesterday that it may take until Memorial Day until the season starts. That's late May, and then, you know, every single day the season is getting pushed back for when people are hearing that it's going to happen. To be honest, no one knows. I think that's a decent guess, is Memorial Day. I think we know that there's an earliest, at the very earliest case scenario, and I think that probably is May, mid to late May, or maybe June 1st, but I don't think we know like the furthest case scenario because we don't know how this is going to progress. I certainly don't know. I don't know. I don't think Bob Nightingale knows. I don't think anyone really knows how it's going to progress. So we definitely have jurisdiction as a community, as a society, as to how quickly the disease spreads. So staying inside, limiting social interaction is certainly key here in the next few weeks to get our normal routines back, to save lives and to save baseball. We can make a difference. I'll try not to speculate when baseball will be back. It's going to be hard, and it will be back in due time. I promise you that. So what will the show look like in the upcoming weeks, and more so this week? On Wednesday, I'm going to join Chris Castellani of the Locked On Detroit Tigers podcast for a Tigers-Twins season preview. I'm heading back to Minneapolis tomorrow from school here at Mizzou. We have gone fully online for the remainder of the semester, so I'm going home. I'll be watching my nanny family during the next few weeks as they had school canceled too up there. I promise to you is a podcast every weekday as usual, business as usual. Whether that comes in the morning, afternoon, or evening will depend on the day, but there will be a show every single day, and I'm looking forward to bringing you energy and passion for the Minnesota Twins right here on the Locked On Twins podcast. So as we await the start of the season, I will be here every day, and I'm going to update of when kind of the general timeline, but I'm in denial that it's going to be July. I just am in denial that baseball is going to start that late. I hope not. I hope we get a season. Maybe at this point we should just be happy that we get a season. But I'm going to get creative in the next couple weeks. This week I'm going to do the top five best Twins teams ever. So with Wednesday being the season preview with the Tigers with Chris Castellani, it's going to push into next Monday. We'll be our number one team. Today we're going to start with number five, and since the Senators became the Twins in 1961, the Minnesota Twins, are almost exactly 500 combined. The Twins' overall record is 4,680 and 4,739. That's a 497 winning percentage. The Twins have won the pennant three times, the World Series twice, in 13 playoff appearances. I put a lot of weight as I was ranking these. The World Series teams are 1-2, and I know that especially that 87 club, not even a top 10 record in Twins history as far as the regular season goes, but I put a lot of weight on the World Series. I don't exactly agree with the best teams being the teams that won the World Series, because I know the playoffs can be a crapshoot, but I'm just going to put 91 and 87 as the top two, the two World Series clubs, and then 3, 4, 5 will be teams, of course, that did not win the World Series, as the Twins have only won two of them. Hopefully in 2020, that would be a third if we get a 2020. I'm just going to keep wishing it into existence. Let's look at the 1969 Twins, who come in fifth place. Maybe too low, but I mean, the Twins have had some special teams, especially in this era. So we're going to look at the best pitcher, the best hitter postseason, and then league-wide ranks for the Twins. Just kind of a look at their lineup, look at their rotation, what the team was good at, why they struggled in the playoffs, because from 5-3, these teams did not win the World Series, like I said. So the best pitcher on the 1969 Twins was Jim Perry, big right-hander, 6'4", 190 pounds. He was worth 6.5 WAR. That was number one on the club, led the team in WAR. He pitched 261 and two-thirds innings, 282 ERA, 131 ERA plus, so 31% above league average. He was tied for 18th in ERA among pitchers with at least 25 starts. Their closer was Ron Peronoski, and he led Major League Baseball in saves with 31, with the third best ERA at 211. Peronoski was unbelievable. This team in the pitch on the pitching side was one of seven Twins teams to have eight pitchers above league average. So just a very deep staff. Their best pitcher is an ERA plus of 131 in Perry. So, you know, after that, Jim Cott, Dave Boswell, Hall, and Chance were guys, and Chance only pitched 88 and one-thirds innings, but were guys that were above league average, above 100 on the ERA plus line. This is also a Twins team, just one of five to have three pitchers throw more than 240 innings. They kind of relied on a core of pitchers. I think they had six throw 100 or more, and then the rest were kind of scattered. But this was a very deep pitching staff. And one that really succeeded with Jim Perry and Jim Cott and Boswell and the rest of them. Just a phenomenal staff that wasn't as top-heavy, wasn't, you know, Burt Blylevin led or Jack Morris led, but a very strong staff indeed. Their best hitter, the killer, Harmon Killebrew, righty third baseman, 6.2 war, led the offense in war. Hit 276 with a 427 on-base percentage, 584 slugging percentage. He was the best hitter in all of baseball, 1,011 OPS, 177 OPS plus with 49 home runs, 140 RBIs, 145 walks, and just 84 strikeouts. So a 20% walk rate for Harmon Killebrew and a 12% strikeout rate. He won league MVP. That was the best season of his career by OPS plus standard. 61 was also a very good year for him. I think it was that other really strong season. Yes, won the American League MVP award. He finished first. He's first in team history in home runs. For that season and all time. OPS is fifth in team history for that season as well, behind Nelson Cruz in 2019, Joe Mauer in 2009, and Rod Carew in 1977. RBIs, first in team history, also tied with himself. Or excuse me, in OPS, he's behind himself from 1961, but his OPS plus was higher because the league OPS was down in 69. Walks, first in team history, most ever. Rod Carew was also on that team, of course, hit 332 with a 386 on-base percentage, 467 slugging percentage, was first in the American League, won the batting title. So they had the home run leader, the MVP, and the batting title champ in Harmon Killebrew and Rod Carew. Their lineup for their most used lineup was for 12 games. It was Ulander, I think is how you say his name, Rod Carew, Tony Oliva, Harmon Killebrew, Rich Reese, Cesar Tovar, Roseborough, and Cardenas for the Twins, and then the pitcher batting ninth with no DH. Very deep lineup. Tony Oliva was their other stud that year with Carew and Killebrew. Just very strong up the middle in 2-3-4 and Carew, Oliva, and Killebrew. And this kind of started that wave or that era of just really strong offensive Twins teams with the two best, in my opinion, hitters in Twins history. And we're going to do more on the best players in Twins history in the upcoming weeks. But Rod Carew and Harmon Killebrew, I think, are the top two hitters in Twins history. And I actually kind of entertained the idea on Twitter last night, is who is the best hitter in Twins history? And we're going to break this down a lot more, and I might write about it this week at Twins Daily, because I think it's more of a question, is do you value power and home runs and extreme power from Harmon Killebrew, or do you value just waking up and hitting like Rod Carew, Mr. 3000, one of, I think, 32 players to hit 3000, to get 3000 hits. Outstanding career, both won an MVP award in Carew and Killebrew, and I think it's more so what you value, but I think it is a really good question of who's the best Twins hitter of all time. Got some responses that Joe Mauer, they think, some people think, is the best Twins hitter of all time. So it's a good argument, I think, for the top two, and then maybe the rest of the field is below in Mauer and Puckett and Oliva and Herbeck, and, you know, there's a pool of guys below that may have a case in your mind, but I think it is an interesting question. 36.4% of people said Harmon Killebrew, 50.4% said Rod Carew, and 13% said other. Someone, my buddy Jeremy, said La Tortuga. Williams Acedillo has a 99 rating in vision on MLB The Show 20, which is unbelievable. I think it's vision, not plate discipline, vision, because of his contact ability. So, you know, maybe one of the best hitters in Twins history, La Tortuga. And then two Joe Mauer responses. So it is a good question, and they were both, Killebrew and Carew, were both on the 1969 team. So how'd they do in the postseason? Let's take a look. They played Baltimore, who was outstanding that year. Baltimore was 109-53 that season. This is back when they just would go straight to the championship series. The Twins played Baltimore and got beaten the first game in a tight one, beaten the second game, and beaten the third game for a sweep. We might be used to that in Minneapolis. Do you hate stepping on the scale? Maybe it's because you haven't met the right one. A company called Withings produced the world's first smart scale, and they are still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus is the best overall smart scale 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but so is having the right tools. Withings smart scales are known for durability and an exceptional user-friendly design. Step on and data from every weigh-in syncs automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't have the Wi-Fi option, and it means you need to have your phone on you, but Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, even a local weather report, and the scale can support up to 8 users and even know who is who. So here's the deal. You can get 25% off of Withings Body Plus right now at withings.com for a very limited time. Go to withings.com, withings.com/MLB to get 25% off Body Plus body composition scale. That's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off Body Plus body composition scale. So the Twins get swept by the Orioles in the ALCS in 1969. We'll go through each game. Let's kind of look at a highlight of each game. In game one, it was a really tough 4-3 loss. 12th inning on a bunt to third. Harmon and Roseboro could not make the play. Harmon at third, Roseboro behind the dish. Couldn't get to the bunt. The Twins lose 4-3 after a strong start from Jim Perry in extra innings. And then game two is the Dave McNally game. 11-inning shutout. The Orioles win 1-0. So two extra inning games to start this one. 12 innings in the first game, 11 innings in the second game. And then game three was an 11-2 rout from Baltimore, and they completed the sweep. Rod Carew was 1-for-14 in the series, kind of unheard of, kind of like Luis Arraez this spring. Just, you know, if we're going to compare those two guys, which they have been compared, I think Terry Francona compared them, either Rod Carew or Tony Gwynn, both fine hitters. Harmon Killebrew was pitched around the entire series. I think he got walked more than he got pitched to. They refused to throw to Harmon Killebrew, the AL MVP, and I don't blame him for that. So how'd this team rank in the American League? 24 teams in 1969. In average, the Twins hit .268. That was third best. On-base percentage, .340. That's second best. Slugging percentage, .408. That's fourth best. OPS was .748. That's tied for third. Home runs, 163. That was fifth. ERA, .324 was sixth. ERA plus .114 was fifth. OPS plus .106 was tied for third. And total WAR, 16.6 was second. The 1969 Twins had four hitters above 5 WAR, which is the most in team history. This was one of the most underrated teams, I think, in Twins history because of how deep their pitching staff was and also how deep their lineup was. This was a career year for Rich Reese, and other than this year, he wasn't great outside of it. But they had a very deep lineup, very strong lineup in all facets, and it really is fun to look at this club as kind of the beginning of the Rod Carew kind of era, and having Rod Carew and Harmon Killebrew in the same lineup, probably the two best hitters of all time as far as Twins stuff goes. But Rich Reese, looking at him in this lineup, he had his highest OPS plus, no, excuse me, say, yeah, highest OPS plus season with more than 120 games played of his career with 139. So this was his best year and really wasn't great. 1970, 92 OPS plus, and then 74, 85. And 30 in 1973. So this really was an outstanding year for him. Outstanding year. Harmon Killebrew's best season of his career. Tony Oliva was great, hit over 300. Rod Carew won the batting title. And Jim Perry was outstanding with Jim Cott and Dave Boswell. So really fun year in 1969. They are my fifth best Twins team of all time. We'll be back tomorrow with the fourth best team and more updates as MLB is continuing to push back their season. We're going to have more on that tomorrow on the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast.